بسم اللہ الرحمن الرحیم. السلام علیکم ورحمۃ اللہ وبرکاتہ. ویلکم ٹو دا تھیمز آف قرآن بائی اکنا سسٹرز. وی آل اگری دیٹ وی آر لیونگ ان ویری اسٹرینج ٹائمز. دیر از اے سیئنگ مے یو لیو انٹرسٹنگ ٹائمز. آل دو اٹ سیمز لائک اے پریئر بٹ اٹ از سیٹ ٹو بی اے چائنیز کرس بیکاز لائف از مچ سیفر اینڈ پریڈکٹیبل وین وی آر لیونگ ان اے ٹپیکل گڈ اولڈ بورنگ اسٹائل. And as soon as strange things start to happen, life becomes unpredictable. These uncertain situations sometimes lead to crisis. A fun fact about the word crisis is that this word has a very different meaning in China. In their language, this word means a dangerous opportunity. Now, we all know what opportunity is. Opportunity is a set of circumstances that makes it possible for people to do something about it. There is also a saying about opportunity that it knocks only once, but there are very few lucky people who actually get to open the door, because most people, instead of opening the door, just sit and complain about the noise and complain about the difficult times. Talking about difficult times, no one can disagree that year 2020 was indeed a very difficult time, a very different year from all of the previous years. If we talk specifically about USA, here, COVID-19 played havoc. The health system practically collapsed and so many lives were lost. But that was not it. We saw the rise in racism, inequality, lack of justice, Islamophobia, and so much more. And the news channels were constantly reporting about one crisis after the another. But one more topic that was heavily covered by the media was the presidential election, because it was also the election year. Being a democratic republic and having a representative democracy system, here in USA, citizens choose their president through a process of election. In some other parts of the world, some countries do choose their presidents or prime ministers through elections, but some leaders are either self-nominated or sometimes they inherit the right to rule. If we talk about the Islamic perspective of choosing a leader, we see that this is a very natural process, but there are layers to it. Before we were created, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told the angels that inni ja'ilun fil ardi khalifa. Surah Baqarah ayah 30, Allah told angels when he created human beings that I am going to appoint a manager for the earth. That means we are created as managers and our role and responsibilities were decided before our creation. And we all are leaders in our own unique way. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that all of you are shepherds and each of you is responsible for his flock. And the main purpose of acquiring knowledge in Islam is also for that everyone can find out what is the purpose of their life so that they can fulfill their responsibilities with due diligence and lead whoever they are responsible for. Because a leader is the person who knows the way, goes the way, and shows the way. In Islamic society, the political or national leaders are chosen with special care because leadership role is a trust, and if someone is not capable, they must not be given this role, as Islamic society is an ideal society which is based on justice and fairness. In Surah Nisa ayah 58, Allah gives an excellent advice to the Muslim community that they must hand over the trust to its owners so that whatever they judge between people, they judge fairly. Islam encourages community to specially look for two main qualities in their leaders. Number one is taqwa, that is piety or God consciousness. And number two is responsibility. This topic is discussed in Surah Nisa, ayah 59. O you who believe, obey Allah and the noble messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and those amongst you who are in authority. So if there is a dispute amongst you concerning any matter, refer it to Allah and Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam for judgment. If you believe in Allah and the last day, this is better and has the best outcome. This ayah covers both components, taqwa and the ability to judge accordingly. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was an extraordinary human being. He was a spiritual leader, a judge, a political reformer, a commander-in-chief, a husband, father, orator, and much, much more. But above all, he was the most kind and the merciful human being. In Ali Imran, Ayah 159, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us about a special gift that he gave to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The translation of the verse is that, "So what a great mercy it is from Allah that you are lenient towards them. And if you had been stern and hard-hearted, they would have surely have scattered away from you." Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was all that for an obvious reason. Allah wanted him to start and establish a system of life based on morality and justice for all. He was the mercy for all creation. In Surah Anbiya, Ayah 107, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, "Wama arsalnaka illa rahmatan lil alameen." And we have sent you not but as the mercy for all that exists. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was not only merciful for humans, but for all creation, including animals. There is a hadith in Abu Dawood that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, "Fear Allah in your treatments of animals." Indeed, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam completed a painstaking job of educating and reminding human beings with perfection. But why is this so, that after all these teachings and reminders through Quran and Ahadith, human society is still wandering in the darkness and going round and round in circles and making the same mistakes again and again? It is because the society in which we live pulls us towards itself through attractive ways, and human beings have a tendency that they generally gravitate towards evil, and if we do not keep our guards up, we all are bound to be affected by this pressure. We can call it social pressure or peer pressure. And how negativity influences in evil ways is a frequent theme in the Quran. For those who influence and educate and form or inform other people's mind bear a direct responsibility for the conduct of those they affect. In Surah Fussilat, Ayah 29, the translation is, "Those who have disbelieved shall say on the day of judgment, 'Our Lord, show us those two who led us astray from among the humans and the jinns, so that we put them underneath our feet, that they be amongst the lowest inhabitant of the hell.'" Another reason why man loses his way is because when a long period of time passes by, humans tend to forget the teachings. Their heart becomes hard and their conscience become dull. In Surah Hadid, Ayah 16, Allah discussed this topic by saying, "Wala yakunu kal lazina utul kitaba min qabl." Do not be like those who were earlier given the books. Because when a long term passes over them, their hearts became hard and many of them are sinners. By looking at these verses, we can say that in the eyes of Islam, weakening of the moral fiber of a society is also a natural process. Societies do not become corrupt in one night. Rather, there is a formula to it, which is that corruption has a trickle-down effect. It starts with the rich people of any given community, and as common people have a tendency of idealizing their elites, they want to live like them, dress like them, behave like them. So when the elites start disobeying Allah's command, eventually everyone starts following them. And over a period of time, the whole society becomes corrupt. At this point, when the sins of the upper class becomes the norm of the community, Allah sends punishment to everyone. In Surah Bani Israel, Ayah 16, Allah says, "Wa iz aradna," and when Allah decided to destroy a town, what happens? He commands the affluent among them. They commit sins in it, then the decree of punishment becomes due against them, and thereafter he destroys it with complete destruction. And at this point, all those silent observers of the society who are not doing anything to stop the evil are also punished by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The reference is Surah An'am, Ayah 25. The translation of the verse is, "And fear the turmoil, which will certainly not fall upon only those few selected ones among you, and know that Allah's punishment is severe." That is why when Quran talks about the death of individuals like Fir'aun, Qarun, Abu Lahab and their likes, it is talking about the self-destructiveness of a way of life, of a society or of a civilization whose end was inevitable because of the choices they made. When the moral fiber of the people become weak, the civilization becomes corrupt. It becomes a burden on the very earth from which it had once sprouted with the promise of prosperity and peace for its people. And when Allah sends punishments towards such a people, He is not afraid of the consequences. In Surah Shams, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talks about a massive destruction of the whole nation of Salih alayhi salam. But in the end, Allah says, وَلَا يَخَافُ أُقْبَاهَا. Surah Shams, Ayah 15, that Allah did not fear the consequences of it. If we look at ourselves, last year in the month of March 2020, when we heard for the first time that there is going to be a lockdown and the malls and the stores and the schools, the offices and the masajid and the airports all will be closed, most of us could not believe that something like that can happen to us, especially living in an affluent society in USA. We thought that maybe some underdeveloped countries could take these severe measures because they do not have the technology or the money or infrastructure is not strong enough to deal with these crises. And we live in one of the richest countries of the world. We would not face any problem. And we also thought that lockdowns of this nature would not happen, because if this happens, it will result in the global economic crisis of unprecedented nature. And since we could not wrap our brains around this idea, we thought that it will not happen. But we forgot that for Allah, it does not make any difference if the financial markets throughout the world plunge to the lowest bottom. This pandemic has put all of us in our places, and now it's been more than a year and we are still living in a world about which we used to think that this cannot happen here. But the fact of the matter is, وَلَا يَخَافُ أُقْبَاهَا. Allah does not fear the consequences of all these. In fact, it is the exact opposite. In Surah An'am, Ayah 44, Allah tells us about the previous nation, that when they forgot about the warnings with which they had been reminded, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala opened to them the gates of every pleasant thing, until in the midst of their enjoyment in that which they were given, all of a sudden Allah took them to punishment, and they were plunged into destruction, and they were in despair, and the roots of the people who did wrong were cut off. And at the end of the verse, Allah says, Walhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. All the praises and thanks to Allah, because He purified the earth from the corrupt people. Now we are living in a luxurious society, and we are used to it. We are used to all the luxury and ease, and we never thought that this will ever be taken away from us. But a small virus has taught us that all of us are equally vulnerable, and we are living in time of crisis, which means that this is an opportunity for us also to fix the wrongs in the society. But before trying to fix anything, one must know about what is that is broken. What are the sins that bring down a society? From a secular perspective, when we talk about plunging of the financial markets and closing down of malls and airports, we say it was all because of a virus. But maybe that is just the symptom of a deep-rooted problem and not the actual disease. The vice that can kill a society can be many. Economic oppression, exploitation of the poor, or political and social oppression, racism, immodesty, lack of God consciousness, etc. Surah Rum, verse 41, discusses this topic in very clear words, that chaos and corruption has become rampant on land and sea because of what the hands of men have earned, so that Allah might make them taste something of what they have done, perhaps that they may return to the right path. Human history consists of a constant process of the making and unmaking of societies and civilization according to these moral norms. Both Allah's mercy and anger on people are on the basis of the principles whose source is divine and is spiritual, but the application is upon this physical world. These norms are called Allah's Sunnah. In Surah Al-Fatir, Ayah 43, Allah says, فَلَن تَجِدَ لِسُنَّةِ اللَّهِ تَبْدِيلًا وَلَن تَجِدَ لِسُنَّةِ اللَّهِ تَحْوِيلًا. You shall not find any change in the way of Allah, and you shall not find that can ever alter the way of Allah. That is why when the Quran talks of past events, it often speaks of them as if these events exist within our memories or in a collective human memory as an integral part of ourselves and of our human heritage and nature. We see in Surah Baqarah, Ayah 63, Allah says, وَإِذْ أَخَذْنَا مِيثَاقَكُمْ, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala took a covenant from Bani Israel. In Ayah 50 of the same surah, Allah says, وَإِذْ فَرَقْنَا بِكُمُ الْبَحَرِ, and when we parted the sea. When all of this was happening, we were not there. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is constantly telling us that remember when this happened, remember when that happened. Because Allah wants us to know and remember what has happened in the past so that we learn from them and not make the same mistakes in our society. What is a society? A group of people living together in an order for a particular purpose. Because there is no such thing as societyless individuals. We are designed to be part of a community and everyone has certain fundamental rights. Life, religion, earning and owning property and honor, etc. Before the society is able to give rights and privileges to its member, each member of a society must fulfill their own obligations. And this balance of rights and duties is the basis of a society that is based on morality. And now what is morality? It is a compass. It always shows one the right direction. Morals are the principles that tell us that distinction between right and wrong or good and bad behavior. People who are guided by the moral laws never deviate from the path of guidance that is Sirat-e-Mustaqim. From Islamic perspective, moral society is a place where Muslims are asked to obey Allah, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and those who are in authority from among themselves. And in this society, rebellion against Allah and Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is never allowed. Because rebellion of such nature is called fasad fil ard, corruption on the earth, which leads to general lawlessness of political, moral or social nature. In an Islamic society, it is everyone's responsibility to fix the problem. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam once said, if someone among you sees wrong, he must right it by his hand if he can. If he cannot, then is by his tongue, that is, speak up verbally, oppose it. And if he cannot, then in his heart. And the last one is the minimum expression of his iman. Collective morality is expressed in the Quran as equality, justice, fairness, brotherhood, mercy, compassion, and solidarity. In the beginning, we talked about living in difficult and troubled times. And such a time is a time of crisis, which is actually an opportunity for us to fix something. So now the question is that what can we do and how can we fix the situation? First and foremost, we have to remember that the essence of all human rights is equality. Quran assumed, affirmed, and confirmed equality for all, and it wipes out all distinctions among men except on the basis of taqwa. In Surah Hujurat, Ayah 13, Allah informed us in clear words that we all are equal in the eyes of Allah. The translation of the verse 13 is, O mankind, we have created you from male and female and made you into nations and tribes so that you may know one another. Verily, the noblest of you in the sight of Allah is the most God-fearing of you. Surely Allah is all-knowing, all-aware. If we look around us, we see smartphones, machines, cars, and whatnot. And by looking at all of these gadgets, one can say that human beings are living in a developed world. But in this same world, we see how one man treats the other, how one race considers others as inferior. There is no doubt that it's not the man who has developed, but only the machines. The reason the Quran emphasizes essential equality in human societies is because of some members to have vicious superiority and the power to assert it over others is a unique amongst animal. It's not a human trait. And in societies where people choose to live beneath the higher standards chosen for them by Allah, they are considered as similar to animals. In Surah Araf, Ayah 179, some people are called that they are like animals. Why? Because they have hearts with which they fail to understand. And they have eyes with which they fail to see. And they have ears with which they fail to hear. They are like animals, indeed even more astray. They are utterly heedless. If we want to fix a broken society, we have to work on the fundamental institution and make sure that they are in accordance with the guidance from Quran and Sunnah. The first institution is family institution. Family is a bedrock on which the society rests. Everything takes the full circle with family. If this institution is not intact and doesn't work according to the commands of Allah, then it becomes the source of producing evil in the society as well as becomes the recipient of all the evil that is out there. The Quran promotes a strong family unit where the parents are respected and obeyed, and parenting is guided by the bound of the Quran. Surah Bani Israel, Ayah 23. Be good to your parents and do not say to them, Uff, and be humble and tender to them. And make dua, Rabbir hamhuma kama rabbayani saghira. O Rabb, show mercy to them as they nurtured me when I was small. Family unit starts with spouses. So spousing, having good relationship, is the basis of all the happiness a family can produce for its members and larger community. In Surah Rum, Ayah 41, Allah tells us that spouses are a sign of Allah, and the love between them and the mercy between them is also a sign of Allah. Outside a family circle, all Muslims are considered to be the brothers and sisters. In Surah Hujurat, Ayah 10, Allah says, Innamal mu'minuna ikhwa. All Muslims are brothers, and they are also called bunyanum marsus, a building reinforced with lead. Talking to people nicely and giving respect to people is also a remedy, or we can say a prevention of so many social problems, be they are of social or psychological in nature. Surah Baqarah, Ayah 83, be good to your parents, to your relatives, to the orphans, and to the helpless, and speak nicely with the people. The responsibility to maintain gender equality in a society also falls on the shoulder of family institution. If a female child is given respect before and after her birth by the family, we will definitely see a decline in the incidents like infanticides and other heinous crimes that certain societies do against females. The people who disrespect women get their strength from the negative attitudes societies have against women. These people feed off of the gender bias, and it strengthens them to commit big crimes because they know that they can get away with it. In so many societies, women are mistreated and disrespected and sometimes blamed for whatever evil is committed against them. But Quran is very clear about this. When in pre-Islamic Arabia, men used to kill their daughters out of shame and humiliation, Allah revealed in Surah Takwir that on the Day of Judgment, Allah will not even talk to those people. Rather, Allah will ask the girl herself why she was killed. After family, financial institutions are one of the most important institutions of a society. If there is corruption over there, then it is impossible to maintain peace in the society. The longest verse in Quran is Surah Baqarah, Ayah 282, and this is all about financial dealings. A very clear Quranic principle is that wealth should not circulate between the rich among the people. Reference is Surah Hashr, Ayah 7. And to counteract the despairing socio-economic conditions of any financially corrupt society, Quran proposes banning interest and imposing zakah, which was for the distribution of wealth and the alleviation of injustice. Allah calls the charity qarz-e hasana, and this is the significance and recommendation of giving charity. Surah Baqarah, Ayah 245. Who is there among you who will lend to Allah a good loan that he may return it after multiplying it manifold? Allah alone can decrease and increase wealth, and to him you shall all return. Honesty and truthfulness are the backbone of a moral society. That is why Quran stresses on its followers that they must always uphold justice at all cost. In Surah Nisa, verse 135, all believers are asked to uphold justice, even though it may be either against themselves or against their parents or their kinsmen. And in Surah Maidah, Ayah 9, Allah told believers to be upright bearers of witness for Allah and do not let the enmity of any people move you away from justice. These two verses talk about justice, but in two different ways. One is about making sure that the love of oneself and family and friends does not keep them from doing justice, while the other is the reminder that the hatred of the enemies must not stop them from doing justice. In short, we can say that a moral society is a balanced society where all the institutions work in a proper fashion. In Quranic terminology, this is a median society. Since Quran gives clear guidance on do's and don'ts, that is why it expects from its followers to try and be the best and fulfill the responsibility they were given by Allah. In Surah Baqarah, Ayah 143, Allah called this society Ummat-e-Wasth, that Allah has made us a community of golden mean. Why? So that we may be witness in regard to mankind, and the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam may be witness in regard to us. And the responsibility of the members of this balanced and moral society is to invite people to all that is good and enjoin the doing of all that is right and forbidding the doing of all that is wrong. The reference is Surah Ali Imran, Ayah 104. In the beginning, we talked about crisis and difficult times, that they are the opportunity. We have to think now that we should be from among those few lucky people who get to open the door when the opportunity is knocking out there. Work hard and develop the ability to recognize that whatever hardships and corruptions we are facing, they are actually an opportunity for us to do good or become better. And if we are feeling confined and we think there is a door slammed on our face, then we should try and listen hard. There is a distant sound of knock on our doors. The Quran is knocking on our doors, giving us the opportunity, showing us the path, straight and clear, that if we walk on that path, we will find solution to all our problems and we will get to our ultimate destiny, the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. May Allah make us from among those who are able to build our families, our institutions, and our society on the basis of these moral principles which Allah has specifically revealed for us. And may we see the benefit of walking on the straight path. Ameen. Wa ma alayna illa al-balagh.